Well, this is the second week of the new year. So how are your resolutions going? Have you already forgotten them? Are you still working on them? Are you still plodding through? I mean, some of you don't even do resolutions anymore, and some of you still attempt to make changes in the new year. I know that most of us wish, now if I've heard it once, I've heard it probably a dozen times, I just hope that 2018 is going to be better than 2017. And that is kind of the focus that many of us have as we go into this new year. It was so great to be here last week and not to share and to speak, and for Joe to speak and to preach and bring the message. He did such a great job about talking about the new beginnings that we have with Christ. But today I want us to kind of look at the reality that many of us have hopes and dreams and things that we desire to experience as we move into this new year. And yet at the same time, we hear footsteps. It's kind of like those wide receivers that are going across the middle, or, they hear those footsteps of those defensive players getting ready to whack them before they, make the catch, or as they make the catch, or after they make the catch. Many of us are expecting for the other shoe to drop. We're expecting for, all of the good stuff that we dream about, and we think, well, it never happens to me. It happens to other people, but it never happens to me. And so we make resolutions, we have dreams, we have desires, we have hopes, and yet it just seems like it vaporizes in front of us, or never seems to, come into fruition. A lot of that is because of the way we process and do life. It's our memories. You remember those hard hits and those difficult experiences that you've had. In fact, the way we are fearfully and wonderfully made is that as you experience things, grooves are set in your brain. And they create, that's where your memories are stored. And the more traumatic or the more incredible the experience has been, the deeper the groove is in your brains. And that, so if you have an MRI or a CAT scan of your brain, you want to see a lot of grooves in there. That's a good sign that you're pretty healthy. But when the grooves start to dissipate and are sanded away, memories are lost and things just aren't there. And it's just a tragic, tragic thing. And it's really interesting how we are made. It's kind of like our senses are the directions or the bridges that give us the memories that we have. I mean, I want you to think about it. What are the memories that you think about most? Think about the fact that sometimes when you taste something, it just brings you back to memories that are amazing. Not too long ago, some friends of ours in Memphis, in the church that I served in Memphis, sent Karen and I in a dry ice container Corky's ribs. It was amazing. I mean, just digging into those ribs. Corky's is one of the two mainstays of Memphis barbecue, along with Rendezvous has dry ribs and Corky's has wet ribs. And as I ate those ribs, it took me back, flashbacks to living in Memphis and memories that I had in Memphis. Andrew went from being a 24-year-old young man to a little 3-year-old guy that looked more like Winston Churchill or Buddha than he does this tall kid. That's how long ago it was. But those memories were strong because of that taste. Not too long ago, I was down at the courthouse and I was giving a character testimony for one of our church members. I get called on to do all sorts of stuff. And as I was coming back down the elevator, as I got in the elevator, it was really interesting. They were ladies about my age. I started to say older ladies, but they were really my age. And as I stepped in, I smelled a perfume that I had not smelled since I was probably in high school or college. And it was just such a strong scent that it just took me back to those memories of high school and college. There are so many things that smell and taste and touch, the things that we see that bring us memories, and sometimes those memories aren't so good, and it short circuits the dreams and the plans and the hopes that we hope to have. But here's the thing that I want you to see. No matter what your memories are, no matter how many times you've experienced defeats and setbacks, no matter how many times you have failed in what you perceive and moving ahead in life, God makes promises. God gives us promises, and God's promises are always fulfilled. Amen. And that's what we're going to be focusing on over the next few weeks, about how God fulfills promises. And that God wants to fulfill promises in your life. He does want your 2018 to be different than your 2017. He wants you to be able to see that He can fulfill things in your life that you never thought were possible. That you could overcome temptations. That you could overcome some of those deep grooved experiences that you have such a hard time being set free from. Now turn with me over to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah 40 is really a fascinating chapter. We're not going to look at it. We're just only going to look at the end. It's a pretty familiar passage with a lot of people. But in Isaiah 40, we see a transition in the prophecies of Isaiah. You know, in eight centuries before Jesus is born, Isaiah is prophesying. And in the first 39 chapters, it's all doom and gloom. It's setting up Israel for unbelievable punishments because of their disobedience with God. It's talking about how God is going to judge the nations around Israel. It's like the old prophet in front of on a street corner with a kind of like the guy that sits in the mobile home down here at the corner of Beach and 3rd Street. You know, turn or burn, hard rain's going to fall. You know, it's all this kind of stuff that is just doom and gloom. That's Isaiah 1 through 39. But in Isaiah 40, the whole thing changes. And Isaiah starts to give us these messianic promises that God wants to fulfill these things in our lives. They are promises about the kingdom. And it's about the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is in the future, but it's also now. It's not yet, but it's going to come. And as we experience kingdom stuff, God fulfills promises in our lives. And so as we look at the end of Isaiah 40, I want us to kind of dig in and set our teeth in the reality that whatever you are dreaming about for 2018, maybe you're just in neutral. Maybe your life has been so whipped down and so broken that you're just kind of in neutral. There is no hope for 2018 to be different than 2017. You've been so disappointed for so many years, you've just stopped dreaming. Or maybe you're still dreaming, or maybe it's just wishful thinking. But I want to tell you today that God wants to keep His promises in your life. He has made promises in your life. He wants to fulfill them. And what happens when God keeps His promises creates a revolutionary and radical change in our lives. And the first dynamic that we need to understand is that when you understand the character of God, when you understand God's character, you're going to discover a lot of different things about Him. And the first thing that you're going to discover is that God's creation is just right. That God created everything. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, it says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to His understanding." So God is the creator of the entire world, and His creation is just right. I mean, turn with me back to Genesis for a minute. In Genesis 1, you know where that is in your Bible? Go to the very front cover and turn to Genesis. It's the first book. And go to Genesis 1. And I want us just to look at a few verses. We're not going to look at all the verses I have listed in your sermon notes, but just a few to give you an idea of what I'm trying to say. It says, then in verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness." Well, in Hebrew, that concept that it's good, it means it's just right. It's perfect. Everything about it is as God created it was just the way God wanted it to be. And then when you read down a little bit further in verse 10, it makes the same statement about creation. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water He called seas, and God saw that it was just right, that it was perfect, it was good, it was just as He intended it to be. Just to give you one more, and then you can check these out as you go through the rest of your day. After the Jaguar game this afternoon, when you're celebrating, you need to celebrate, you know, and go to the Scriptures, you can read the rest of these verses in Genesis 1. Verse 12, it says this, "The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. And God saw that what? It was good." It's just right. God is the creator of everything. God speaks and a billion galaxies are formed. God breathes and out of his vapor, life comes. God speaks and it's amazing to see what God has done, what God has created. And God's creation is just right. It is perfect. It's within the context. It's within the dreams. It's within the imagination of our Creator God that everything is exactly what he planned and how he planned it to be. But here's the amazing thing. When you look at Psalm 139, the same thing is true about you. God created you, and he created you to be just right. Look at Psalm 139. Turn with me over. In the middle of your Bible, in Psalm 139, God created you. God created you in such a special and unique way. Lord, you have searched me, David says, and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all the ways before the world, before a word is on my tongue. You know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me and you have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me and it is lofty and I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I live in the eastern horizon or settle in the western limits, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I've been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret and I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless, and all my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. The origin of our souls, the origin as the throne room of heaven. God created you. And you were perfect and wonderfully made. And God loves you. And God loves you so much that even with the sin that we have inherited into the human condition, God loves you and he looks at you as a part of his creation. And what he sees is love. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created the world and God created you. And if you think that your future, if you think that 2018 can't be a special time for God to work in your life, then your theology is totally messed up. Because the theology of the scripture says that God is really concerned about you and that God really loves you. And it doesn't mean that 2018 is going to be a perfect year for you, but it means that no matter what you face in 2018, God is with you and you can't hide from his grace and his love. And that as he cares for you, he is understanding. Isn't that an amazing statement that it says? He never becomes faint or weary, and there is no limit to his understanding. What an awesome statement that we see here. It means that God is in control. It means that God is past, present, and future. And when ancient Israel heard is Isaiah make these prophecies, they understood that from the beginning to the end and everywhere in between, God was concerned about us. That's his character, and that is how much he cares about you. We see that with God, we can't compare what he has for us and compare that to what our dreams are. That God's dreams far exceed our dreams for ourselves. That God is in control, that his power is never ending, that he loves us and understands us, that he understands us completely. And the reason why he understands us is because he is so intimately involved with us. He understands us because that he has created us, but he also understands us because of the incarnation, because Jesus, God the Son, came to this planet. He understands the human condition even more. Turn with me over to Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it's towards the end of the New Testament. It gives us some real some real insight on how God understands your dilemma and your plight. Here in the second Sunday of 2018, and you're wondering, is 2018 going to be a repeat of 2017 or 2016? And if we're talking about the second Sunday of 2019, will 2018 be any different? God gets it. And He gets the frustrations and the hurts and the difficulties that you might have. God understands because of who Jesus is. Look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verses 12 through 14. For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God understands, and because God's Word says He understands, we see that there's truth here. No creature is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confessions. Because Jesus has experienced life on earth in His humanity. He understands your humanity. So God gets it. He gets the challenges that you experience. And God's Word promises these amazing, incredible blessings that He wants to fulfill in your life. And because God's Word says it, you can trust it. And in two chapters over, in chapter 6, verse 18, it says, here's one of the things that you can always hold on to. God never lies. And so when His Word says that He wants to fulfill truth in your life, when His Word says that He understands our conditions, when His Word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, when His Word says that He looks at creation and says it's good, He's serious about that. And He's not going to lie about those things. You know, in 1687, on the 5th of July, John Newton was sitting under an apple tree. An apple fell from the tree. He started pondering this. And as he began to ponder this, he began to create and develop the universal concept of gravity. Did gravity exist before the apple fell on John Newton's head? Absolutely. And there is a scientific law, a natural law, that says what goes up must come down. That gravity is a real deal. Now, I do know that there are some kids, you know, a little older than Evan over here, that don't understand the laws of gravity yet, and they just do amazing things. They are able to climb and crawl and be able to do life that just makes their parents grow old for their time. But once they get older, they start to understand the laws of gravity a little bit more. But just as there are physical laws that define scientific, empirical things like gravity, there are the spiritual laws that God looks at His creation and says, it's good. There are spiritual laws that says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There are spiritual laws that say that God gets it and understands the human condition because of the incarnation, because Jesus came to this planet and acted as the perfect high priest for us. There is that spiritual law that says God never lies, and there's that spiritual law that says God loves you. Amen. And that God has a plan and a purpose for your life to be able to rise up above the circumstances that you find yourself in today. The second point that I want you to see is this. When you are weary and feel like you are unable to press on God, to press on, God gives you the strength that you need to keep advancing ahead. Some of you were tired before 2018 got here. Some of you were ready to give up and said, I'm just done, I'm just in neutral, I'm in survival mode, I survived 2016, I survived 2017, I'm just going to survive 2018. It's not going to be any different. I mean, it's just this pessimistic view of the world. And why are you pessimistic? Because all of those memories and experiences that you've had in your life have created such deep grooves in your thoughts that your thought processes say, you're a loser and you're not going to have a lot of great things happen to you and you expect bad things to happen. Well, you're not a loser. You're God's creation. You're created really to the point where He says you are created well, that He is pleased with you. He loves you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for your sins. He cares so much about you that you are created just right. And it says in verse 29, He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. That word gives is really an important word. Can I give you a little Hebrew lesson here? It's one of two I'll give you today. This word gives here is really amazing. It is notin is the Hebrew word for it. And what it means is this. When He gives, it is not sporadic. It's not just this one-time thing where He gives you His grace, His love, His blessings. It's not that you get, you know, one shot. It's not like the Wheel of Fortune where you spin the needle and it goes around and it says, today is your day to be blessed, but the rest of your life, you're not going to have any blessings. So 2018 is up for grabs. It doesn't mean that. That word gives in Hebrew means that it is constant. It is always there. It is not sporadic. It is part of the huge, tremendous, amazing character of God, that God keeps giving, that God keeps blessing, that there is no limitation to God's giving and blessing to you. When you think that your future is dim, when you think that your future, you've reached the pinnacle of what God can do in your life, let me tell you, you've hit a ceiling theologically that you need to open up and realize that there is no ceiling there. That God's character is that He wants to continuously give and bless you. And He gives you strength so that you will not be faint. He gives you strength so that you will not be powerless. In Zechariah 4:6, God makes this amazing statement. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So as you come to know Christ and the Holy Spirit is in your life, God wants to empower you. We need to remember the full Trinitarian reality of God. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. But remember, the Holy Spirit is there to live in your life and to empower you every day of your life. And so as you face hardships, as you look at the impossibles, as you look at those circumstances that you think that God has forgotten you, God hasn't forgotten you. Your life is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. He cares about you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves you. And He wants to give you constantly His power and presence. Remember, turn with me over to Philippians, the third chapter. I just think this is incredible. In Philippians 3, we see an interesting illustration that Paul uses. It's one of those athletic illustrations that Paul frequently uses. In Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." So in this promise, there is a promise that God has made that has been solidified in this heavenly call of Christ Jesus. So as you run your race, as you live your life, you keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He is the one you want to succeed in 2018. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at Jesus. That Jesus knows and has those circumstances. Something happened really weird last year, 2017, in Venice, Italy. How many of you have run a marathon or a half marathon? I know, didn't the Archer girls run a half marathon recently? Yeah. So how was it? Good, okay. How many of you have run half marathons? How many of you have run the River Run? How many of you get out and shuffle around the block, maybe, every now and then? Something happened. It's hilarious that took place in the Venice Marathon on the 29th of October of last year. The lead pack, the pack of runners. Now, when we have the Donna Hicken you know, we're in church usually when the lead pack runs behind our church and we never get to see them. And most of the time, there are these amazing, swift, you know, very svelte, in shape African runners. You know, they're from Ethiopia or Kenya. You know, there's that one tribe in Kenya that produces all these amazing distance runners, and they're just sweep on by as if it's effortless for the distance of a marathon. Well, in Venice, Italy last year, they had a lead motorcycle like they do in all marathons, but the motorcycle went the wrong way. So the whole lead pack went the wrong way. And as they went the wrong way, this pack that was a minute behind them saw that they were going wrong, that the motorcycle was leading them the wrong way. And so the second pack of runners were able to get a 1 minute head start at the midway point, and they were able to keep it. And these unknown distance runners were able to clean up on the prize money because the motorcycle guy led them the wrong way. You know, there's a lot of us who are following the wrong stuff. The motorcycles in our lives are our thoughts, not God's word, but it's our experiences have led us to places where we have made the wrong conclusions. And the saddest wrong conclusions that we make are the wrong conclusions that we make about ourselves, that we make about others, and that we make about God. We don't understand the fullness of God's character because the lenses that we look at them are distorted by our own experiences, our own sense of failure, our own sense of brokenness. And that is some of the results of sin. But you see, we've been forgiven of our sin. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus on the cross, our sin was forgiven. And then when we start to understand who God is, we also understand who we are. And we understand God's character, we start to see ourselves differently. And the defeated position that many of you live your lives by, that you feel like you can never change, that things can never get any better, that things you can never overcome those things, those are twisted and distorted things that are not godly. And it's not what the Holy Spirit is telling in your life. That's what you're telling yourself. That's what the enemy is telling you. And that God wants to set you free with truth. That God wants you to follow the right stuff. And if you're following Jesus, He's going to, and the high calling that He has for you, the race that you're going to run each day of your life, the race that you're going to run each week of your life in 2018, and the race that you're going to run every moment of your life, the rest of your life, is going to be totally and radically changed. Because instead of looking at the failures and the sins, you realize that it's through every drop of blood that Jesus shed on the cross and through every spoken part of creation that God recreates you when you follow Jesus, that you've overcome those things. And that you are able to live life forgiven, not tortured by the failures of your past. That is the promise of a fulfilled life in Jesus. He gives you strength to overcome that negative thinking. The third and last point that I want you to see is this. No matter what season of life you're in, you are challenged by that season. And no matter how much failure you have experienced, you can trust God will bless you with a life that soars. I can tell you that from the people that are sitting here, you're all in different seasons of life. Some of you are in your 90s, and some of you are children. And everywhere from childhood to your late 90s, you're in a season. Some of you can be in the same generation and in the same age group as others, but you're still in a different season of life. And the season of life that you're in is determined by your understanding and your comprehension of who you are in Christ, and it's determined by your definitions of the characters of your understanding of God, how you understand the character of God, how you understand the significance of His grace, how you understand the radical reformation that God can make in your life through Jesus Christ. And what Isaiah prophesies 700 years before Jesus is born is that no matter what season of life you're in, if you are a young person or an old person and anyone in between, God's got a desire and a truth that He wants your life to soar. Look what it says in verse 30, back in Isaiah 40. Verse 30, it says, youths, if I were going to translate this, I would say young men may become faint and weary. But that's kind of sexist, so It's better to say youths. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. You see, many of us would love to have a life that soars. There's a lot of us that would like to take off and truly live a life that is unhindered and unfettered. But most of us, we're like Icarus. There have been moments in our life where we have flown too close to the sun and we have just come falling down, and it's been a crash and burn moment. And for many of you, you've had multiple crash and burn moments. So those grooves in your brain that we talked about at the beginning of this message today tells you that your life is going to be filled with crash and burn moments, that God is not going to fulfill these promises that the Bible talks about. The enemy whispers lies to you. Your own self-expression and experience and definition of your character, even in Christ, says that you have plummeted to the ground and there's no way out of those dilemmas, that your past has totally led you to this place, and there's despair, and it's not going to get any better. And let me tell you, all of that is a lie. God wants you to soar. Your second Hebrew lesson is this. That word for soar is an amazing word. That word that says to be, it also is translated to lift up. There's two ways to define that or to translate that in Hebrew. It depends on the ending of the word. If you take the kal ending, it means that you are going to fly high. If you take the hifal ending, it means that you're going to grow wings. And the ancient Hebrews had this folklore, this legend, that old eagles would actually grow new wings, that their old wings would fall off and their new wings would grow. Well, we know that that's not true. It's folklore. But it's an incredible idea. God wants your wings to be strengthened, your life to be strengthened. God wants you to lift up. It's the same exact concept that He gives us over in Psalm 103. Turn with me to Psalm 103. You can see the exact same focus in Psalm 103. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion and satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed. You grow new wings. You soar high like the eagle. God wants you to be able to take off and live, not just for 2018, but for the rest of your life. He wants you to be able to understand His character, that He is the Creator God. He wants you to understand that not only is He the Creator God, but He's the God who loves you more than anything, any way that you possibly could be loved. He loves you despite the fragileness of your sinful stuff and sends Jesus to die on the cross for us. And through the power of the resurrection, we are resurrected with Him as we put our faith in Him. And in that resurrection, there's a new life. You are lifted up. You can soar and live and overcome all of that trash, all of those failures, all of those false thoughts that keep you from experiencing the fullness of a life that God has for you in Jesus Christ. This is not supposed to be a feel-good message. It's not something that is just giving you false hope. It's the reality of the fact that God does not lie, and His Word says that He wants to take you in all of your weariness of the past and lift you up to experience a life in Him, a life that is resurrected, a life that is in the kingdom, a life that is filled with joy and peace and love, a life that overcomes the weariness of everyday living, a life that wins, a life that soars. Do you want that kind of life this morning? Do you want that? Do you want that for 2018? Do you want that for the rest of your life? You see, here's the decision that we need to make today. The decision that we need to make today is this. Most of us have followed Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but are we really willing to follow the truth of the Word of God? If God's Word is God's Word and it's inerrant and infallible, then we need to trust it and believe it that it is God's Word. And if God's Word tells us and promises us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that He loves us, if God's Word says that we are forgiven, that God demonstrates His love for us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that through that death and through His resurrection, we now have life, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come, then it means that you and I have this new life that we can live, that we can understand the truth of God's character, and God's character is of love, and He wants to lift you up. You no longer have to stay in the muddled parts of your past. It means that He can change your thinking about Him and change your thinking about yourself. It means that you can stand and believe on the truth of God's Word and trust it. It means that you know and can trust that God understands and gets your life because God came in the flesh as God the Son, Jesus. And He gets you. He understands you. And He still loves you. So it's not an invitation just to come to Jesus, although some of us may need to come to Jesus and say, I need to follow Jesus with the rest of my life. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to trust Him. I need to trust Him to forgive me my sins. Some of us today may need to make that decision. Probably most of us here today need to make a decision. Do I believe God and take Him at His word?
Amen.
Do I believe God and take Him at His word enough to trust Him? And that tomorrow when I wake up, I'll trust Him. And that when doubts come and the negative, broken thinking that comes from our past experiences, our memories of grooved places in our thought processes, that we overcome and challenge those negative thoughts about ourselves and about the people around us and about life in general, and instead say, God's got this. He wants me to soar above those things. God's got this. He has forgiven me. God's got this. He really can change who I am because I have been created in the image that He desires for me to be created, and I need to live out and be that person God has created me to be. He's going to empower me because it's not by my might, not by my power, but by His Spirit that He's going to change those things. I can become a liberated person. I can be set free. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I can have this new life that God has promised. So for many of us, it's to step into that truth. It's to step into those beliefs and to say, yes, I need to understand the character of God, but I need to understand the character of who I am in God. And in that, I am a new person. And I do not have to continue to live the way I do. And the only cure for that is to spend time in His presence. The only way to cure that is to spend time in His Word. The only way to cure that is to be in prayer. And the only way to cure that is to acknowledge, God, it's on You. I trust You. And the best place to start that is maybe here at the altar and say, God, I do want to be different. But not just in 2018. I want to be different, period, for the rest of my life. I want to live. I want to soar. I want to fly. I want to have new strength. I want to have the strength that You give me. And with the presence of Your Spirit and the power of the resurrection of Your Son. And our altar is open for you to come and pray. I'm here to pray with you as well. Shelley is also here to pray with you. So we've got some friends here that want to help you break the past and start with a new beginning. And so I'm going to invite you to stand and come.